I'm going to speak to you from the Old Testament, and I don't know if I have slides up there. They're there. You get a television put up there so you don't have to look back. Trust? No trust. I love Jean, but I see him back there, so. I'm going to speak to you. You can see the title. So, Can These Bones Live? You're going to figure out real quick that I'm speaking from Ezekiel. And let me just give you a little bit of the background as we come to it. So, we are in the Old Testament. The people had seriously messed up. For the most part, they had stopped worshiping God altogether. They weren't living any kind of life that was right. And the story comes. The kingdom of Israel had divided into two kingdoms, the north and the south, and the north has already been taken away into captivity, and now the armies have come down on the southern kingdom. We're in about the year 586 BC, and Jerusalem is just about to be captured. That's kind of the background to where we are. God has allowed the enemies to come and to conquer and take away captives. Ezekiel is one of the captives. He's a priest. He's the son of a priest. He's a writer. He's a prophet. His contemporary, by the way, is Jeremiah, also a writer and a prophet. But Jeremiah has been left behind, so he's still in Jerusalem. So one of these guys is ministering to the captives, and the other one is ministering to the people in Jerusalem. And they both start out as these doomsday prophets with the same message. And the message is kind of a simple message that they have for the first part of their books. And the message is, you've done wrong. You messed up. So God is not going to protect you or help you. This means bad things are coming. Really, really bad things. The first part of the book, that's about all you get. This message is repeated over and over and over again. The first many years of Ezekiel's ministry, it's just this rebuking, this warning against their sin that has caused their demise and brought them into captivity and will result in the fall of Jerusalem. But the book changes partway through. And God brings a second message. The second message is twofold. The first part of the second message is, I love you. Despite all that you have done, and even though I've allowed you to suffer because of it, I still love you, so don't give up. And that will be the message that Ezekiel brings for the last part of his book. And the message is extremely important, because if the people give up, then their future is gone. But if they listen to the message, then they will have hope in the future. Well, as I said, these doomsday prophets bring their messages and things move forward, and everything the Lord tells Ezekiel comes to happen. And Jerusalem is finally destroyed, and the people are taken into captivity, the walls are broken down, the temple is destroyed. And time marches on. Ezekiel, now about the middle of his book, begins to prophesy or pronounce judgment against the seven nations that have caused this destruction. I kind of like that, because it's good to know that even when we suffer or God allows things to happen, if there's people involved, they don't usually get away with it. And in this case, these nations didn't get away. I mean, they must have been sitting back thinking, you know, we won over the people of God, and then everything happens to them. And now Ezekiel turns back to the people and prophesies to these people who are in captivity, whose capital, whose nation has been destroyed. And he prophesies to them, God will restore. And so we drop in on chapter 37. The prophecies of doom and despair are over. God is delivering a message of hope And he's telling the people, I still love you. Don't give up. And here's the prophecy. So we're going to read from the 37th chapter, and you can follow along or whatever. So the power of the Lord came over me. This is Ezekiel, of course, writing. The Lord brought me out by the Spirit and put me down in the middle of a valley. And the valley was filled with bones. He led me around them, and I saw that there were very many bones at the bottom of the valley, and they were very dry. Then he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I answered, Only you know, Almighty Lord. And then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones. Tell them, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the Almighty Lord says to these bones. I will cause breath to enter you, and you will live. I will put ligaments on you, place muscle on you, cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will live. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. While I was prophesying, suddenly there was a rattling noise, and the bones came together, one bone attaching itself to another. As I looked, I saw the ligaments were on them, and muscles were on them, and skin covered them, yet there was no breath in them. Then the Lord said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, tell the breath, this is what the Almighty Lord says. Come from the four winds, breath, and breathe on these people who were killed so that they will live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them. They came to life and stood on their feet, and there were enough of them to form a very large army. And the Lord said to me, Son of man, all the people of Israel are like these bones. The people say our bones are dry and our hope has vanished. We are completely destroyed. So prophesy. Tell them, this is what the Almighty Lord says. My people, I will open your graves and take you out of them. I will bring you to Israel. Then my people, you will know that I am the Lord, because I will open your graves and I will bring you out of your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will place you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. We ask that as we think about it, as we talk about it, Lord, that you would speak life into our hearts today. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. The first couple of verses. The power of the Lord came over me, and the Lord brought me out by his Spirit and put me down in the middle of a valley, and the valley was filled with bones. I had some really nice pictures of all, but I didn't think they were overly appropriate for church. So he led me around, and I saw that there were very many bones, and at the bottom of the valley, they were very, very dry. I also had a couple of songs, by the way, for this, and I want you to thank me because I didn't bring any of them to sing. How many of you are old enough to remember some of the songs that I'm thinking of? You know, the foot bones connected to the... Anyone? Okay, you can just target your audience, Jay. This is, you know exactly who's in your church now. I brought a similar message in another church a few weeks ago, and no one raised their hand. If you have ever messed up, if you've ever been in a place where you feel like everything has gone wrong, the bottom is just completely fallen out, life has not turned out according to the plan, and it's time to give up all hope that things will ever change. Then you can understand how the people of Israel felt. You can understand how Ezekiel is thinking. You can probably relate to these people, and hopefully you can relate to the message that God gives them. The message here, as I've said, is a message that hope is gone because you're dead. When you're dead, it's over, right? Hello. Some of you are still here? To emphasize the point, it's not just a valley of bones that are freshly dead. Because I don't know, maybe there's some hope that if they were just killed, you know, maybe they're not really dead. But to emphasize the point, it's a valley of bones that are very, very dry. You got to figure, you know, look at the emphasis. So they're not just dead. They're very, very dead. I guess you could say life's not just gone, it's long, long, long gone. And yet the message is of God's love. He asks me, son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel is an extremely wise prophet because he answers. That's a good Italian answer. Only you know, Almighty God. Only you know. And God's message is clear because the bones come to life. He says, prophesy to these bones. Tell them, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the Almighty says to you. I will cause breath to enter you and you will live. You see, God's message is clear. No matter how much you have messed up, no matter how bad you think the situation is, when the bones are very, very, very dry, when all hope is absolutely gone, you're not just dead, but you're really dead. God's power is not diminished. His ability to save and to restore is not limited. He can and he will speak life. And God says, there is still hope and I still love you. It's interesting to notice that there's a why in here. Because God tosses this in. He says, then you will know that I am the Lord. Our God is a God of love. No matter how much we feel things have gone, no matter how much we feel that hope is gone, no matter how much we feel that God is far, far away, he says, I still love you. Jeremiah, in his book, with all of the dire prophecies that he has, in the middle of the book, we discover a God who loves relentlessly. To this rebellious people, they've failed, they've disappointed God. And yet God says to them, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I will build you up again. Are you following with me? Look at that. You're good. Even when we have failed and walked away from him, his love endures, and his desire is to draw us back and to restore us. Maybe there are people even here today that say, God can't love me like that. You have no clue. You don't know what I've done. And yet God still says, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the Almighty says. I will cause breath to enter you, and you will live, and you will know that I am the Lord. Tony Campolo, one of my favorite speakers and writer, he tells a story in one of his books. The book is actually entitled Stories That Feed the Soul. You like the title. I do. He tells how he was traveling one day on a short flight from Denver to Colorado Springs, and while he's waiting for the flight, he sees this little girl with her mother. The girl is happy, and she's jumping around singing, and she's singing, I'm going to see my daddy. As Tony puts it, she's singing in a most obnoxious way. Only Tony can write this way. Well, he ends up on the plane right beside them. And throughout the flight, the singing continues as the little girl, dressed in a fluffy dress and patent leather shoes, she continues to sing, all the while stuffing her face with cookies and Coca-Cola. Each time the flight attendant passes, she takes more. Parents, you should learn from that. Well, the inevitable happens. The flight hits a bit of turbulence, and the little girl stops singing just long enough to give back the cookies and Coke. Tony says it this way. He says, we all know cookies and Coca-Cola do not smell bad. Therefore, it figures that if you mix the two together in a sweet little girl with a fluffy dress, patent leather shoes, and pigtails, that what comes out should not smell bad. Such was not the case. He continues the story. And the moment the plane landed, he made for the door, leaving the little girl covered in vomit far behind. But as he walked into the airport, he noticed a man waiting, dressed in a white flannel suit, eagerly looking for someone. And he just knew this had to be something worth seeing. So he says he waited. He waited to see the encounter between this elegantly dressed father, and in his words, and the little vomit face. What happened next took him by surprise. The little girl came running out of the plane and up to her father, and he got down on one knee and swept her into his arms. She was covered with vomit, and she smelled very bad. But it didn't make any difference to him. He had his little girl, and that was all that mattered. God loves us in that way. Whether we are a prodigal son that comes from feeding the pigs or a little obnoxious girl covered in vomit, the Father is waiting to take us into his arms. We find something more here in the middle of this prophecy. Not only does God restore the bones to their previous state, he does something more. Beginning at verse 8, as I looked, I saw the ligaments were on them, the muscles were on them, the skin covered them, yet there was no breath in them. And the Lord said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, tell the breath. This is what the Almighty Lord says. Come from the four winds, breathe and breathe on these people who were killed so that they will live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood on their feet, and there were enough of them to form a very large army. There are a couple of things in this portion of the prophecy that are worth noting. I think the one that strikes me the most is where God says breathe on these people who were killed so that they will live. There are a lot of people that have at some point in time heard of God's love. At some point in time, they may have even attended a church or had some kind of relationship with God. And yet something has happened. Some whispers have entered their ears and they've walked away from life itself. They've been slain, as it were, by the enemy. And God says to Ezekiel, breathe on these people who were killed so that they will live. There are many people in the world that they seem to be alive. They have bones and muscles and skin, but the life of the Almighty Himself is not in them. Much of our thinking as people, we look at and see the way that others live. And while it's true that God wants us to live in a particular manner that is worthy of Him, most of all, He wants us to be alive. The gospel message, it's not just a message about sin. It's not just a message that says, you were bad, but Jesus can make you better. That's not a bad message. But the gospel message is about life. The gospel message is a message that says, without God, without an ongoing relationship with Him that's possible through Jesus Christ, without that, you are dead. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it in its fullness. God's love is not just a message about forgiveness. It's a message about a relationship with Him and a future that we can have. It's a message that says, I will put my Spirit in you and you will live. God so loves you that He created you. He has a plan for you with a purpose for your life. His desire is to walk with you and to have this ongoing relationship. And this is possible through Jesus Christ. I should pause right there and ask, do you have that relationship today? Can you say, yes, I know that God's very Spirit is alive in me. I feel it. He's changed me. Day by day, I'm growing and becoming more like Jesus. I know that I'm alive. Friends, if you can't say that, then I would challenge you right now to allow the breath of God to enter into you. No matter where you have been or what you have done, He loves you. And all you need to do is look up and say, yes, God, I recognize that I'm dead and I can't do one thing to help myself. But you sent Jesus. And so I ask right now that you would forgive me and make me alive in Him. It's that simple. Do we look around at others that have failed? Perhaps you think of friends or family members who you would deem to have failed miserably. Even after knowing the truth, we would all recognize that no one is outside of God's redemption. He loves them and wants to draw them back and restore them. And so the message is, do not give up hope. Don't cast aside. The challenge is this. We all have in our circle of influence a list of unredeemable people. Everyone is saying, no, you got this wrong. Oh, yeah. We all have people around us that we deem to have failed so miserably in life that they are so far from God that there is no way they could ever come to Him. We look at them. We see them day by day. Those are the people that we believe are too far gone. They're too dead. Those we think they'll never listen. We think they'd never be interested or come close enough. Those that we know are haters of God, are haters of right. In our mind, we know that God loves them. And yet still, somehow, in our heart, we doubt that they will ever come. In fact, we would say they cannot come because their belief or their life is too far away to be reached by God's love. Now, some of you are thinking right now, no, you got this wrong. I would never think that way. I know that God's love can reach anyone. Well, let me just challenge you to stop for a moment and think of people in your circle of influence, people you may touch or meet from day to day, people around you, not here. People out there. Got to get that right. Maybe it's your neighbor, your fellow worker, who do not know God. And here's the question. Have you told them? Actually, let me rephrase that. Do you think that if you went to them today and told them about God's love for them, that they would accept Christ's love? Now be careful, because this is a trick question. You see, if you answer yes to that, then my response immediately is then run now. Run and tell them now. Why have you waited? If you know that they will respond, why are you waiting? They should be here with you next week. Now, if you say no, they wouldn't come. They would not accept Christ's love. Then you need to ask yourself, why am I answering in that way? And the honest answer is because you feel they are not interested or they are too far away. The challenge is that God loves them. And He's still asking, Son of Man, can these bones live? We have to be careful how we answer. Because very often, it's our action and our attitudes that say to God, no, they cannot live. And therefore, I will not tell them. Ezekiel was wise. He said, I really don't know. Only you know that, Almighty. And God's answer to him is then speak to these dead, dry bones. I don't know that Ezekiel was much more positive in his outlook than we are. He seems to have lost all hope. And that's why God spoke to him. That's why God took him out to this valley and gave him this lesson. And that's why he recorded it, so that we could have the same reminder that Ezekiel had. Salvation is not just for those who we think are somehow close enough, who we think are somehow worthy enough. But salvation and the love of God is for the Paul, the persecutor of the Christians, the hater of the faith, the hater of Christ's followers. The chief, by his own confession, the chief of all sinners. But he was not outside the reach of God's love and redemption. We live in a very broken world that often rejects the love of God. It's possible because of that that we grow weary. We grow cynical when it comes to telling them. And yet the message is clear. We must hold out the word of life to those who are dead. Christians have often retreated into their own little worlds. They want to hide from this world and the people of it and from the effects of telling others and being rejected, the effects of being persecuted. Even when our persecution today is really nothing compared to what those who have gone before us have suffered. Nonetheless, it's hurtful, it's disappointing. But we live in a world filled with sheep that are without a shepherd. We must not grow weary. What do we see in all of this prophecy? Well, the bones were numerous. They were dry. They were dead. There was no hope that anything could happen. And that perhaps speaks to us of our own country, our own city, our own circle of influence, and perhaps even some that are right here today. And the question is, can these bones live? And we may see that as impossible, but God sees the possibilities. People are lost in a big world. They're searching for identity. They're searching for relationships. They're searching, as we sang it already, for a good, good father. And in this world, they're not finding one. When we are without Christ, we're like those dry bones, spiritually dead, and dead people cannot do anything to help themselves. But when we find Him, we find something that makes us alive, not just alive physically like bodies, but with no breath in them, but alive spiritually as well. When we find Him, we have a restored relationship with God Himself. The world comes alive to us. The universe is ours, and we find life. Eternity is suddenly within our grasp, an eternal life is ours. And so I'd leave you with a challenge. Would you think about your circle of influence, all those people that you come near to day after day? Is there just one that you could start praying for? Just one. Would you pray that God would touch them and that He would give you an opportunity to show them the correct picture of God? There are all kinds of people out there that think about what God is like. In case you weren't paying attention to the songs that you sang. But you've heard whispers in the dead of night that tell us He's a good, good Father. But they don't know that. Could you pray for just one that you could share that with? Just one that you could tell them that they are unconditionally loved. Could you connect with them strategically and have an opportunity to share your faith, some positive thoughts about God? Maybe you're here today and you're saying, yeah, but I'm the one. I'm the dry bone. Well, then would you look to him today and say, breathe on me. Spirit of God, breathe on me today. Breathe life. Right now, God is saying, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the Almighty says. I will cause breath to enter you. And you will live. I'll put ligaments on you and muscles and cover you with skin. And I will put breath in you. And you will live and you will know that I am God. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me at this time. Worship team, if you want to come back, that would be great. Would you let God breathe into you today? Would you let him breathe life? If you are saying, Pastor, I'm the dry bones, then I just challenge you. Open yourself up and say, Spirit of God, breathe. Breathe into me right now. And if you have that life in you, then would you pray right now for one person? Would you ask God to just show you one person that you can minister to? You fit into that first category. Just like to pray a prayer with you this morning. I'm not going to ask to see hands today. But if you do not feel that you have the breath of God in you, would you pray this with me? Lord, I know that I'm like dry bones. I'm dead spiritually and I'm far from you. I've not lived the way you want me to. And I know I've disappointed you. I've sinned against you. Father, would you forgive me? I accept what you have done through Jesus. And I ask that you would breathe life into me. In Jesus' name.